Welcome to SB Nation Radio, the 2011 edition here with you, Scott Jackson, and SB Nation editor Mike Prada, of course, from Bullets Forever as well. And first of all, Mike, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. What did you do for your holiday season? I think I heard you on the air, actually.
I worked a lot, yeah. I took advantage of other people not working, basically, and talked as much as possible. But I did, you know, watch football, obviously, bowl games, NBA on Christmas Day and all that good stuff. All the important things you have to do on holiday. Oh, yeah, and I did spend time with my family. I forgot to throw
good.
That in there,
all right,
too.
Good. So you got that out of the way. Now you can move on. I like how you said you took advantage of other people not working.
Exactly.
That's a very positive way of looking at it.
Now, it is.
I worked on Christmas, too, but that's because I'm not Christian. So.
Well, there you go. Well, that's the way, you know, do what you got to do. Exactly.
You know, but it was a good holiday season. Got a week off, sort of, you know, it was good, just nice and relaxing. Really charged up for 2011. It better be a better year in DC sports than 2010.
It'd be hard not to be, certainly. At least it got rung in the correct way with the Capitals, and I know we're going to get into some of that. Dan Steinberg, Washington Post sports bog, is going to be with us. We'll talk some 24/7 with him, but certainly the Capitals finished that thing off nicely. That's certainly something that's been big on the SB Nation DC site, the Capitals, and the things that have been going on there. But, of course, as you know, this time of year, this is Redskin season, folks. Yes, the end of the regular season is Redskin season around here. Because, well, that's the time of year that the Skins completely dominate. And, Mike, it has been dominating the site. I've been noticing anything that has any sniff to do about the Redskins, you know, and what should happen next is big-time gold right now for SB Nation DC.
Yeah, especially the draft. Now, free agency is going to be a big deal. They have tons of money to play with. But there's also, you don't know what's going on with the CBA. You don't know what's going on with the lockout. So it's really all about the draft. The look towards next year, and I just think it's so interesting. What are they going to do with the draft? I mean, they have so many holes.
Yep.
They've created a new hole with the quarterback position. Do they take a quarterback at 10? Do they find a way to move? I mean, they can't get Andrew Luck anymore. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, well, they weren't going to get him probably, but I mean, the fact, though, that he is not in it does impact the Redskins and obviously everybody else that was going to go in that quarterback market. There's no question about it. Now, do the Panthers... At this point, just say, you know what, we've got Jimmy Clausen. You know what, we'll give him another year. We'll build around him. And you know what, if we stink again and we're number one again, that's not the worst thing in the world because right. Andrew Luck's going to be there next year. So maybe the quarterback class is not impacted as much as we think just because everybody assumes whoever number two is, whether it's Blaine Gabbert or Mallett, whoever you would have their locker, they would immediately move up to the Panthers. That may not be the case at all now, and it may be a complete – I mean, the Panthers have a lot of needs too, as do the Redskins, right. Clearly. So it may not have that trickle-down impact after all. Of course, I'll give you what I always think the Redskins should do, and I've said this – forever, ever since the Vinny Serrato, Dan Snyder era began here, which is they need to trade back and get more picks because they're void of picks right now. But I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of teams that probably feel like they wouldn't mind moving back, too. You just got to find a sucker who wants to move up.
I mean, that's the problem with this whole let's trade back strategy is you got to find a trade partner. And if you look at the teams that have multiple picks and you look at it's like New England. I guess Denver has a couple. New England loves having multiple picks. Why would they give up a couple? Denver has a zillion needs of their own, so why would they give up two of their picks? You might have a chance if you take a future pick, but I don't think a lot of teams – I think most teams have kind of smartened up and realized that it's better to have a bunch of later picks where you don't have to pay each individual guy as much than having that one high pick that you have the scale. I guess that could change soon, but you got to pay him a ton of money. And it's only one player, and it's only one position on a football field. And as you know, and as I've said many times, you don't win, you don't fix a football team with one move. You can do it in other sports, but not in football. So no. Who's a trading partner? I think their best chance is to move back and take a future pick.
It'd be great if they could. I mean, certainly there's going to be holes in the future, as we know as well, because of some other trades that are going to come back and bite them still. But, yeah, look, if they could move back and not that far and still get the kind of player they want. You remember Charlie Casserly's last draft with the Redskins was pure brilliance after a lot of misses, let's face it, too. He had some bad ones. But it was brilliant how he moved up and down the draft board and still got Champ Bailey in the end, the guy they had targeted all along. And he had stocked the team the following year with three number ones.
Right.
Of course, they ended up using him to trade up to take spots back-to-back with – obviously, LeVar and Chris Samuels, both guys who played a long time here and made many Pro Bowls. But you think about those kind of drafts, and you have have to go back, you know, some 10, 11 years, well, actually 11 years now to remember a great draft recent. Boy, the Redskins really played it perfectly. And that was really the last one. So I would look. It would be great if they could fill a quarterback in the second round, if they somehow, some way could find a quarterback that could be their future guy in the second round and still take care of the O-line in the first round, get another big tackle perhaps, a guard, an interior lineman would be helpful, or somebody in the defensive line. Let's face it, they've got a need for a nose tackle. They probably need at least one end in that 3-4. They're probably going to have holes at linebacker. At least two linebackers' positions will probably need to be filled. Oh, yeah, they could use another safety and another corner.
You know, they could also use a running back and a wide receiver.
Right, and running back and receiver, too.
They're okay. They could use a new kicker.
Yeah, they could use a new kicker. Definitely need a new punter. I mean, they haven't had a punter, you know, forever now. So, I mean, there's just so many needs. It really overwhelms you when you start to think about it and knowing, again, that they don't have the amount of picks that, say, a New England has.
That's true, but I guess you tipped your hand as to what you think they should do by going offensive line and defensive line first. And you would do that even if one of these potential franchise quarterbacks, and there are a lot of decent quarterbacks other than Andrew Luck. I mean, Blaine Gabbert has gotten a lot of buzz. Ryan Mallett had a bad Sugar Bowl, but he's been up there. Move. And, oh, yeah, the Heisman Trophy winner, Cam Newton, is going to be in the draft. So would you take an offensive lineman over one of these guys?
Yeah.
I think you've said yes.
Yes, I would. No, I definitely would. I'm not a – and Jake Locker, who apparently, you know, Mike Shanahan had a crush on last year. I don't see how you could still have a crush on him. He's had a horrendous year.
Oh, Shanahan's stubborn, though.
Exactly. He's stubborn. He's stubborn. You know, the guy was awful in that bowl game against Nebraska, and it just was kind of typified his season. Now, I wouldn't take him. Ryan Mallett, to me, is a statue. If you get pressure on him, he's not good. And let's face it, NFL, they go on these things. How many 6-7 quarterbacks have ever achieved in the NFL? How about zero?
How big is Roethlisberger?
Yeah, he's not 6'7", luckily. Right. He's about a 6'5 guy. He's about 6'5.
Maybe Culpepper, I guess.
Yeah, and he was 6'4, Culpepper was. But no, the tallest quarterback was McGuire, and obviously that was a disaster, the Dan McGuire era in Seattle. So I think that's what hurts him a little bit. It was funny, I heard one of the scouting guys the other day say he should lie and say 6'6 or try to measure shorter just because the league worries about stuff like that. And then the other thing is, and again, the guy's two biggest games I watched this year, you know, the Alabama game, you know, threw picks in the end zone. And a couple of important occasions in that game towards the end of half and towards the end of the game. And, of course, you know, threw the pick the other night. It just an awful pass against Ohio State in that game. It just didn't really get a lot of confidence. And then you have other quarterbacks, and I like Cam Newton a lot. I like a lot of the qualities he has. I wish I had more tape on him. But, you know, these guys that play out of the shotgun so often and don't play under center.
Right.
It's hard, you know, and that's why these guys get paid the big bucks to figure out whether or not they can translate into the NFL, you know, going under center, you know, the majority of occasions. So that's one of the tough things I think you look at when you look at these quarterbacks now in college football and the spread offense, which has made it easy to put up gaudy numbers, but not so easy for the guys trying to figure out who can make it to the next level.
Right, and I think that's the other thing is that you can plug a lot of different guys back there and succeed. Now, maybe going forward you need a franchise guy, but I think I'm not sure number 10 is a good spot to get it. And I'm not wild about Ryan Mallett either, because if he comes here, he's going to be pressured a lot because of that offensive line. Now, the one thing that is worth noting, and I know every Redskins fans are really kind of skeptical about free agency, but they have a lot of money to play with. And if they're smart about that money, they can fill a lot of holes. Now, they have to find the right guys. But I believe I read it somewhere. They have very little committed money next year,
That's true.
Less than usual. And if that's the case, then I don't see – like, you could at least make an argument maybe that if you sign – I don't know which is more monetarily feasible, but if you sign some offensive lineman and draft your quarterback, is that better than drafting an offensive lineman and signing some quarterback for a couple of years just to kind of man the fort? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a question worth noting. And it does give me a little bit of hope when you see all these holes. If they're smart about it. Now, they don't want to give too much money to one person, you know. But
that's always the catch with the Redskins that we've known in the past. However, again, if this is truly Mike Shanahan's show and Bruce Allen's show, you know, they've got to show the smart, you know, the smart football stuff that everybody thinks they have, and that's why everybody's happy when they came in here to take over, and they would be able to do that. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater with you here on 106.7 The Fan, the 2011 inaugural edition of 2011. And, you know, you talk about the Redskins, Mike, and one of the things, you know, constantly, you know, reading the boards and certainly people reacting to the things that we write on SB Nation DC it does seem like there's more of a feeling all of a sudden to go away from skill position players more so than ever, I guess, because of all the misses with the skill position players in free agency, in drafts of late. It really seems like people want them to take care of the lines, and I think that's a practical thing, because if you look around the league, the teams that have solid lines, offense and defensive lines, are usually going to be successful teams.
I agree to a point, but the thing is like we said, they have so many holes that I'm not even sure they can pick and choose. I mean, if the best player available is a cornerback or a wide receiver, I mean, maybe not a wide receiver, but is even a linebacker, I mean, I don't think that they can afford to reach on someone just to fill a position of need. I think they have too many holes.
Well, an interesting thing, too, is throughout the year, hearing a lot of the guys who covered the team and were able to see the team from the press box level and talking to the players after the season, hearing what they had to say, receivers were open all year in this offense, they'll tell you. It was a matter of, was the protection there? Did the quarterback see him? You know, and obviously, Rex Grossman had the same problems Donovan McNabb had in his three games, I thought, which was he didn't have time sometimes to go downfield. And when he did, yeah, he made some plays, certainly. And, you know, he was a turnover machine in a short period of time in there, too. Some of that was protection issues. So if you feel like guys are getting open, there'll be a year in the offense. I think Santana Moss certainly needs to be re-signed. He's still got a lot left in the tank. If you, you know, keep, you know, you assume that Malcolm Kelly is going to give you something, or at least be on the field next year, which is a tough thing to assume, but I'm with you.
Well, the good news is that maybe Armstrong really stepped
up. Armstrong came
year.
Along, no doubt, and I still think Terrence Austin was underutilized, you know, showed some things. He can run routes, as a hard worker. So if you feel like those guys are going to get you by, that's fine. And you don't need to go out and get the splashy. You don't have to take Julio Jones. You don't have to take Blackman. You know, from Oklahoma State, you know, you don't have to do anything like that. You can stand pat there, or even, you know, grab somebody on the maybe on the B side of the free agent list and not spend too much money on
right.
it.
Right. Well, I agree. The lines are definitely the biggest concern. I'm just saying that I honestly haven't looked too much at some of the order, the board and stuff, and where everyone is. But if you have to, but philosophically, if you have to reach for an offensive lineman, I think you're better off just taking the best player.
No, that's true. No, you don't want to reach for somebody. And again, the best case scenario I think we all could agree on is that the Redskins slide back, get a player of need, and a player that will be an impact player, and still, you know, and at the same time pick up draft picks. That would be ideal.
Right, obviously. And
yeah, that would be
future
obvious.
Picks, definitely, yeah. I think is realistic.
Future, this draft, whatever it may be. People like to see that happen.
Well, what do you think about the idea of trading someone like Cooley or Sam? Well, I guess you can't really trade Sam.
Here's the thing. Tight ends, there's no value.
Yeah,
name
that's
me a
my
tight
thought.
End that's ever
my
been
thought.
Traded. Nobody ever trades
that's
tight ends.
Too.
You know, I mean, they're a dime a dozen in the NFL. I mean, they're all, you know, really outside of Gates when he was healthy, and he's not even healthy. I mean, this year, Mercedes Lewis is one of the best tight ends. I mean, look at the two guys in Denver. I mean, excuse me, in New England. I mean, whether it's Hernandez, you know.
Those are some pretty high draft picks.
And Gronkowski, you know. I mean, those guys, you know, you just plug them in. But I'm saying that they've kind of gone through tight ends, too. Remember the passing Benjamin Watson there, and they had these, you know, higher profile tight ends. But look, I mean, you see teams throwing the ball. I mean, Celek was great one year. He was really a non-factor this year for the Eagles. A lot of that had to do with Vicks, not a guy who throws the tight end a ton, although he did, you know, a couple other games. And there's just so many tight ends kind of come and go outside of Gonzalez and Gates. I mean, Cooley's been really consistent. You're not going to get anybody better. I just don't. It doesn't make any sense to deal him. And again, there'd be no market for it.
I'm sympathetic. See, that's the thing. I'm sympathetic to the idea that maybe give Fred Davis more chances. But what are you going to get for Chris Cooley?
Not
realistically
enough.
I mean, Santonio Holmes went for a 5th-round pick. Randy Moss went for a 4th-round pick, and they're wide receivers. I mean, you're not going to get very much for that. For like a, what is he, 30 now? I mean, you're not going to get anything for him.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I just really don't see it. Hey, let's do this real quick. I want to get your thoughts before we get to our first guest, who's going to be Dan Schifferow from SB Nation, writes about the Redskins with us. But we're going to talk about JaVale McGee in the dunk competition. A lot of big men this year in the dunk competition, which is interesting. You know, I guess all the floor
like
players
it.
Are kind of tired of it.
I like it. No, everybody hates it, but I think it's cool that they're trying something different. I really
I mean, I just think you get the best players. And we do have guys at that size now. Certainly McGee's one of them. Blake Griffin's a monster that have just got freakish athleticism. And I think if it's done properly, it could be very exciting. I mean, at the same time, you know, usually there's always that sympathy vote for the smaller guy. But yeah, I think it has a chance to be pretty good. And McGee's already, you know, shown off, as you probably saw the YouTube or the video yesterday on Comcast.
Yeah.
He's already, you know, working on some creative stuff.
Yeah, he put a piece of paper in the net and he grabbed it with his mouth, which I thought was pretty. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean. Yeah. I don't know if he probably has no chance of winning because they're just going to make Blake win. Griffin.
Yeah, it's a year Blake Griffin. There's no doubt. Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty cool, and I think, I think what happened last year is that they had all short people. They had all wings. I think they had like Shannon Brown, DeRozan. You know, it just wasn't. There was nothing to it. It was just really all the same. I mean, these guys did terrible dunks, but even if they had done good dunks, they're dunks that we've seen before. I think it's good that they're trying something different. And you know what? I'm happy for JaVale, and I think there's a big concern that people think he's going to take the dunk contest more seriously than the game. And I think that's a load of – I can't believe that. And I think if that's a serious concern, then you have bigger problems than JaVale McGee being in the dunk contest.
Yeah, I mean, I think there might be another player that plays in the front line with him I'd be more concerned about at this point.
But yeah, well,
that's
true.
A conversation for a different time. We need a lot more time to talk about that. But, yeah, he can do it. I mean, these guys do other stuff after practice. He can work on it then. It's not a big deal. There's always going to be that perception.
He's a 7'2 athletic freak. I mean, when you drafted him, did you really not think that he might be invited to a dunk contest?
Yeah,
it's
not a bad thing. Part of this game, whether you like it or not, is marketing. And let's face it, the Wizards aren't exactly tearing it up in jersey sales and team merchandise at this point. And if you can get it out there, why not? And it's not a problem. Unless he breaks his wrist in the dunk competition, then I'm completely against it. All right, coming up, Dan Shiforov is going to join us.
Now I'm worried he's going to break his wrist.
Dawson Redskins, from SB Nation DC with us. And are the Redskins better than they were a year ago now that Mike Shanahan's in place? I know Dan wrote about it. We'll get his thoughts on it coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan.